Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Red Men TV, it's the match preview show. I'm Steve Hall, joined by Jay Pearson and Dan Club to talk all about Liverpool versus, let me get this right, Union Saint-Gilloise.
Nice.
I might just go Union from now on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
USG.
Scouse French, Belgium. Well, I don't even know what it
Joey
is.
Joey Barton mastered it, didn't he?
Is it even French? Because I know in Belgium, I might be butchering like loads of things. They have Flemish, there's a bit of German. So I don't even know where it sounds French, but either way, I don't think.
Like Dan said, USG.
Yeah, a bit of USG, a bit of Union. Let's just go Union. Mm-hmm. Jay, interesting one. Obviously, tomorrow night at Anfield, Liverpool get a chance to get 6 points out of six in this group, which is something we've all been really stressing for a long time. Let's get this group phase boxed off and done as soon and as quickly as possible. Now, obviously having, I think it's fair to say at last, the performance, especially in the first half, was a bit shaky. Liverpool get the result he wanted in the end. Given the fact that we think it's going to be a much changed team again, I was thinking before, that last game plus the Leicester game, these lads have now got a couple of games under the belt where they know each other. Are you expecting things to be a bit more smooth than they perhaps were against Lask and even first half against Leicester?
Absolutely, and I think given what's happened over the past week as well, I think there's a bee in the bonnet for a lot of people, not just the crowd, the players, the manager, everything. So I think the game plan and everyone's feelings going into this game has been completely changed after what happened at the weekend. And I don't want to dwell on what happened at the weekend, but I think it's going to work in our favour tomorrow. You always look forward to going to Anfield, but I'm extra excited for tomorrow night because there's just so many variables going into this game now.
Okay, a little bit of siege mentality seems to have crept in there. And I suppose, let's look at it first of all from the Union point of view and what it means to them. Obviously, we saw the videos when they were announced about playing Liverpool and they were on the aeroplane, delighted. They got a point in their first game as well, so they'll be quite pleased the fact that they got that draw.
Yeah.
I doubt they're expecting to get much out of Anfield, but this is the thing with sometimes, and I don't know if this is disrespectful or not, but like it's a Europa League game for Liverpool. It's going to be a changed team, and it's going to be a little bit blasé for Union. It's genuinely one of the biggest games they'll play for a long time. They're a relatively small club in Belgium, in Brussels. They're not, the ground's only small. They can't even play the game at their ground when we go over there due to the size of it. As an occasion for them, it's something extra special. And like you'd be wise not to forget that, this is like a massive game for their players. If they've got anything extra to give, Anfield is where they'll give it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is it for them. Like, a night at Anfield under the lights of European night, regardless of competition, it doesn't get much bigger, really, for anyone, let alone some of these lads that are coming. This is the night of their lives, like I say, and they're going to come to a fever pitch Anfield. It's going to be raucous because of what's gone on over the past few days. So they will be bang up for it. Every single thing they've got to give will be left on that pitch, make no two ways about it. And Liverpool just need to be professional. Liverpool need to avoid complacency, and if we do that, it should be a much changed team again, I imagine, and there'll be lads chomping at the bit to get involved on the weekend in the Premier League stuff. So I've no sort of qualms about Liverpool's professionalism and the fact we will approach it with the utmost, let's take it seriously, let's get the job done, because that's what we do. There was a little bit of the lack of cohesion, I think, in the last game, certainly in the first half, but that sort of developed as the game went on. I'm expecting, as you mentioned, the Leicester game, more minutes together with these lads. I'm expecting to see a much improved version of this particular Liverpool side again, because this is going to be our cup side now, I think, for the season, and so on and so forth. So I imagine it'll be a better performance.
Suppose as well, Jay, we'll touch on Liverpool in a moment, but from a mentality point of view, I think you're right to mention it. Like, if anyone wants any reaction to all of the stuff that's happened around at the weekend. It's all over the channel. We don't need to delve too much into it here. But Anfield on a European night in the Europa League, sometimes it can be a little bit flat. I think that's just a bit blasé. I've got a feeling it could be a real show of strength and a bit of show of solidarity on Thursday night. Like, I know you're going there yourself. You're getting that sense as well that it could be. Listen, it's not going to be Barcelona 4-0 atmosphere or Chelsea 0-5, but it could be like something where, like, you know, almost like an act of defiance to show these lads, like, you know, you just battled so hard with 9, we love your bones, you were a proper team, all that. You're expecting a bit of that as well on Thursday night?
Definitely, mate. The away crowd at Spurs was brilliant, and you could see that after the game. You saw the footage and you would think that we'd won the game the way we reacted to the players and the players reacted to us, especially Nunes, you know what I mean? I thought that was just, in particular, was brilliant. So this is our first opportunity for the Anfield capacity to get behind the team and just show them, like, we are behind you. You tried everything you could to win that game at the weekend. And it's just also as well, I love that the solidarity of our football team, of the city, of the actual fan base all around the world, because when we are down and in the dumps like that, when things like that happen, we just rally round, and that's exactly what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a really good game. Let's move on to Liverpool, and we don't need to speak too much about Union, because I don't really know too much about
the top of the league.
Yeah, they're having a good time. But in terms of their team, who's they're going to pick the best team? Yeah, it's the best team. They're going to pick the best 11. Let's look at Liverpool's team then, because this is where it gets a bit interesting. You mentioned before, Liverpool are almost getting to this point now where they've got a weekend team and a midweek team, which I think's brilliant. Yeah. There's going to be a little bit of blurred lines between the two of them on Thursday for a couple of reasons. Let's start at the back then. Mm-hmm. I think a few eyebrows were raised when Joel Matip started at Tottenham over Ibu Konate. I think Joel justified his performance for them, obviously, as a stinker at the end, but it's one of those, really. Ibu come on and play well. Yeah. It'd be fascinating to see what Jürgen does at centre-back. Quantum will play, I'm pretty certain. Mm-hmm. There is something to be said about what he's going to do. If he's going to use Gomez at right back, is he going to give Trent the minutes? Mm-hmm. Does Ibu play? Does Matip play? Because my guess is it'll be Keller in goal, Tsimikas will be left back, and Kwanzaa. But then those other two positions, it's interesting, isn't it?
No, absolutely it is, yeah. I'm in total agreement with you, to be honest. It's the right-sided two that there's question marks over, and there's arguments for and against both, isn't there, to be fair? Because like you said, Evan Konate remains my preferred choice in terms of our first 11, that weekend scene that we mentioned, but then he's gone with Matip a couple of times. We don't quite know where Konate's at in terms of minutes. Does he need more minutes? I think Trent definitely needs a minute. Obviously, he comes on at the end of the Spurs game, so he definitely needs more football in his legs. It's been a few weeks now, but are you risking him? Is that part of this? Do you want him to go out there and maybe pick up a knock or whatever it may be? Maybe you save him. I would probably just about side on. I'd probably side on going with Gomez right back with a view to getting Trent back in for the Brighton trip. And then I'd probably go Matip as centre-half, to be honest with you. I would, because like I said, I think Konate should be our weekend guy. I think he's in the first 11 still for me. So I agree, Kwanzaa, no-brainer. He's been really impressive, I think, in the League Cup game as well as the Europa League stuff so far. Tsimikas, if he's not going to get minutes in these games, he's not going to get minutes, basically. So I think that's absolutely nailed on. But again, if somebody wants to say he should be Konate at centre-back, I'm fine with that. If somebody wants to say Trent, it really is a toss of a coin for me, because I can see the positives in giving Trent the football to get him sharper. I can see the positives in getting Konate the football to get him sharper. So it's a fascinating one. And one that I think is going to come down to, so much it will come down to the experts and the fitness people and the scientists saying he can only do an hour, he can only do 30 minutes and so on and so forth. I think that's the way is going to work.
Suppose, well, Jay, Pacetic played at right back in Lask and he comes on against Leicester, but since then he's had this calf injury. So even if he wanted to go Gomez and Pacetic, that option seems to have gone. I suppose a lot of it comes down, and listen, we're doing this before Jürgen's press conference, which is late this afternoon. Obviously, for Europa games, they do things later in the afternoon. It depends on Trent. Did he want minutes in his legs, or did he just want to save him? Because if it's Trent, then you just put Gomez. You can play Gomez as centre back, and you can just rest Matip and Konate. That's where I suppose a lot of it works on. What do you think would be the best for Alexander Arnold? Do you think he needs the minutes, or do you think, you know what, you're going to play so much footy anyway, mate, we'll wrap you in cotton wool a bit?
I mean, it's a tough one. Like Dan said, it's going to come down to the fitness levels, and I do believe that Trent plays some part of it. But this goes back to where I was just about to play devil's advocate with you both. If, like, you're gone about mixing it up. Now, we've seen when we've mixed it up against Lask away and against Leicester in the Cup that the first half was a struggle for us and the crowd got a bit weary. We didn't play our best. Things were being said. It was a worry, and it took the big guns to come on and change the game in both games. I don't want to do that again. I would rather start strong. You finish the game, maybe even in the first half, no disrespect to Union, early on in the second half, and then you get them off, rather than the other way around. And yeah, maybe at the point where you're bringing the big guns on and you're chasing a game, that's where injuries can happen more realistically. So for me, given what's happened over the past week, the way we've done with Lask and Leicester, I'd be starting more strong than I would normally in this circumstance and then getting them off as early as you can.
Suppose, well, the difference here, it's worked out a couple of times now, Dan, is that the team playing on the weekend after the Europa League mm-hmm. is also playing Europa League. It happened against West Ham and it's going to happen against Brighton. So there's no, like, Brighton aren't sitting with their feet up having a rest, you know, they're going exactly. to Marseille.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're worried about that, that's a thing to consider as well. Let's move into midfield then. Now, the obvious thing to say here is that Curtis Jones should just play.
Yeah.
He's suspended for 3 games in the Premier League. He might as well play. Yeah. He could probably captain Liverpool again, like he did against Leicester. Whether he plays as a 6 or an 8, but Curtis must be in the team sheet for Thursday night now. Whether he would have been, I don't think that would have been the original plan, but surely he's got to be now.
No, I agree. I don't think it would be the original plan. I wonder if there's a consideration. We've just been discussing the right back situation. Does he go back into right back like he did against Leicester and captain?
Yeah, it's an option. Yeah.
Because obviously, if he's going to be in the team as is Trent, he's then not captain, of course. Maybe that's the way he goes about it. Because it's interesting that, because I agree to the point whereby he's obviously not going to play the weekend at Brighton, so you get in minutes because you may as well. But there's also lads in the midfield that you probably need and want to give minutes to, your Endos, your Harvey Elliott, your Gravenberches. So do you compromise what you're doing there, or can you just get him in at right back again potentially? So I think it's a fascinating one. And I think Liverpool's ideal midfield for this would be Endo, Gravenberch, Elliott, personally. I just do. But because of the Jones stuff and suspension, that does throw a spanner in, that works a little bit.
Yeah,
so
I suppose
I'd be tempted to go right back.
I suppose the flip side is one of those will start up Brighton. So if the thing's going to start on Gravenberch at Brighton, maybe you'll look after him a bit. Yeah, it is a fact.
I think I agree to a point, but I think he needs football more than anyone. I think he needs football. He's shown his performances. He's been good at times, but he got cramp at Lask, comes off with cramp. He needs proper minutes in his leg. So he's one here for me who needs an hour minimum to start on the weekend.
Yeah, Jones at right back could be the option then, couldn't it? If it depends on what you want to do with it. I think Endo will play. I think we'd all pretty much agree. Because I don't think he's going to start at Brighton. There's an argument to do it and put McAllister at favour four, but I think that won't. Up front, the interesting one again then, Jay. Jota just plays, surely.
Yeah.
If he's not playing against Brighton anyway and then it's an international break, then Jota's in.
Yeah.
This is where it gets a bit tricky for me, and that obviously we know Cody Gakpo's out for a couple of weeks at the earliest. He'll be back for the Everton game, hopefully. But that isn't, like, that's more, we'll wait and see. We saw in Lask, Diaz and Nunez played, and it was Ben Doak. There is going to have to be one of the big guns are going to have to play. Someone who's going to start at Brighton is probably going to start this one. I wonder what the manager, how he goes about that. If it's Doak on the right, and then you've got Jota either up front or left, he's either got Diaz or he's got Darwin. My guess is probably Darwin, because he didn't get on against Tottenham, unfortunately. He was going to try and get on, and then obviously Jota got himself sent off. So Jota from the left, Darwin up front.
I would
Doak
say
on
so.
The right.
Yeah, I would say so. Much as I love Luis Diaz and the stuff that he's been doing, but Jota plays because obviously he's going to be banned, and you just give Darwin that chance again, because I know he'll relish it. So yeah, that's the front three for me.
And again, it's a changed team, Giles, stick with you, but, like, again, that's more than good enough. That's more than good enough for Liverpool to get the job done. I think you make a good point, though. What happened at Lask is that Liverpool were really rubbish for half an hour to an hour, maybe, yeah, roughly, and then Liverpool had to bring the big guns off the bench. I wonder what the bench looks like now. Are the big guns on it, or is he worried about and just goes, you know what, I can't risk it because we've got, you know, Liverpool are without two forwards at the weekend. You lose one more and all of a sudden you're looking at Brighton going, what do we
exactly.
do? There's a fine balance. You know, one suspension and one injury and already you're like, bloody hell. Like, that them's the breaks a little bit, but I do wonder how strong his bench is.
Well, this is the thing that we've got to think about now with the run of games that's coming up. And for me, I still think you're going to have all those big guns on the bench in terms of the Szoboszlai and Salah and McAllister. I think, again, he's one that could have a thing for starting as well, because obviously
playing against his brother.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he'd be disappointed if he doesn't play, and I think there's definitely a shout for that, whether it's a start or it's bringing it on. So yeah, again, the headache of having six forwards is still there. So again, I'd be happy with whoever starts, whether it is Diaz and Jota. But again, going back to Jota, he's got to start, hasn't he?
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose difference as well, Dan, is like last time it was Lask away, It was West Ham at home. This time you're playing at home on Thursday, which is brilliant, but then you go into Brighton Sunday. I'm guessing Liverpool will probably travel Saturday, So they're going to get a day and a bit maybe off. So that is, I wonder how big an impact that is having on Jürgen, because if you think, I mean, I'm guessing they fly down to Brighton. The flight to Brighton isn't probably that much less than the flight to freaking Lask was, genuinely, so anyway, like half an hour or something less. But I do wonder how much that plays into it, because I think against West Ham, you could tell that he wasn't that bothered about bringing the big guns on at Lask, because it was a home game, it was a later kickoff. I just wonder how big a part Brighton is playing in this one.
Yeah, I think it will be definitely in the back of his mind, of course it will. And I think there'll be a reluctance to the point you made a minute ago in terms of there'll be a reluctance to bring the big guns on. If he can avoid it, he will absolutely avoid it. It won't be giving Salah 20 minutes for 20 minutes' sake at the end. If the game's done and dusted, we will not see Mohamed Salah. He will spend the entire night on the bench. Same with Alexis Mac-Allister. So I take the point about playing against his brother, but there's bigger issues at play here. It's what's best for Liverpool Football Club. And if Liverpool are 3-0 up on the hour mark, he'll bring Bobby Clark on. He'll bring, You know, kids, like more kids on the bench, essentially.
Because the last time he was, even on the bench.
But it will be this time because we're missing lads, aren't we, through injury and stuff like that, obviously, as well. So I think we'll see a slightly weaker bench, to be honest. And only in terms of, like I say, it'd be like Bobby Clark, who's absolutely fine. I was surprised we didn't see him on that first bench, to be honest with you. So I think he will avoid at all costs. There might be a case for giving lads minutes. We already mentioned Konate, we mentioned Trent. If he doesn't start the game, they might need half an hour's football. It might be slightly different. But in terms of Salah, who obviously doesn't need minutes in his legs, he will be avoided at all costs because, as you say, he won't want to take any risks if he can avoid them ahead of Brighton. He'll want to go into that. Almost a perfect preparation would be getting the game done and dusted, 2-3-0, whatever it is, getting some lads some time, some minutes into their legs, a bit more sharpness, and then we move on to Brighton. Because I take the point, obviously the travel's a thing, but it's the tests ahead of us really in Brighton. They're a proper side. I know they've been sort of done on the weekend badly, but they are a very, very good side, and they hurt us badly a couple of times last season. So Jurgen Klopp won't want anything getting in the way, really. He'll want a nice, clean victory tomorrow night, top of the group, smooth sailing, really, because qualifying early and qualifying top is absolutely essential for Liverpool, just to make life easier.
I suppose you're right, Dan's right in that, you know, get it done as quick as you can. That's the aim. Don't be playing games in December in this competition that means stuff, because that's where you want these players rested. I want to go back, if you don't mind. We touched on it earlier on, obviously we now know Jones is suspended for 3 games. He misses the Brighton game in particular, which is the next one before the break. This is where I wonder if whoever's going to play at Brighton, do you give them the start because they might need the minutes, or you'll have to. So I'm thinking in particular, my guess is it'll be Ryan Gravenberch who starts at Brighton. It would be a guess. I can't really think what else. It may be Elliot, but I think that's the wrong side. You're asking Sobers slight to move. I think Gravenberch is the natural player to go left of an eight. So it would make sense actually maybe to give him an hour, because Dan's right. He looks like, of all the players who need minutes, he needs minutes. Like he hasn't played for a year. he gets cramp after 70 odd in last. Yeah. It feels like he could be one where you go, you know what, mate, we'll give you an hour now because the plan is to give you 90 on Sunday. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. We want to see what he can do. You know, I'm not the most seeding when it comes to football players abroad, especially since I've had a son, you know what it's like. So I'd want to see more of him. I really do. I think playing against Leicester, you're not going to see the best out of him given the circumstances of the game, the players he's playing around with. We're going to have a stronger side this week, so I just want to see him start from the beginning and just let's see what he can do, because it is important for him to get his feet under the table at Liverpool, because we'd all feel that he's going to be part of this starting 11. So
absolutely, it would make sense. Looking at the group then, Dan, it's mad, isn't it, really? Because this is where things can really open up. If you get six from six and your next game is a home again to Toulouse. Mm-hmm. Now, Toulouse with the pot four team, technically the weakest team. I don't know if that's actually the case, given how the draw panned out. I wonder if... I know when I spoke to Tom last time about Lask on the Oppo preview, he was like, Lask aren't that big uni, and I certainly probably thinking the same. But get six out of six. Before you know, you got one more home game, you got nine. And by nine, should get you through.
Yeah.
Whether it gets you through as top is a different matter, of course, but I'm just thinking if Liverpool can win this one, and if something can happen in the other game, listen, if it's a draw again, which would be perfect for Liverpool, all of a sudden things, you're already half through already, which is crazy to say, but that is the opportunity Liverpool have got here, isn't it?
And that's what Liverpool need, to take the opportunity. That's what we want to do, because I think you're right. I mean, nine, I don't think it quite takes you through, but I think it more or less takes you through as top. Because they're going to be scrapping out these other three teams, like scrapping out to get through.
Where are they getting three wins from?
They'll be taking points off each other. Like, time, you mentioned that the other game there was a 1-1 draw first time around for Toulouse and Union. So I think they'll be just, like I say, taking blows from one another. It's just to get through with Liverpool, to be honest. So I don't think nine is too far removed from what we need to qualify as champions. But that's what we've got to do. And the quicker we can do it, the better. Because, like I say, it gets messy later on in terms of fixtures being around. And it allows us, we're talking about cup teams already, but it allows you to take your cup team down from like 7, 8, 9 changes, whatever it is, to like 4, 5 in terms of your first teamers. You can really drop the level down then, and that's massive. Having like players resting not needed in the back two games is my sort of ideal view on this. For the Europa League group stage is perfect. It's ideal for what we're looking to do. So yeah, no complications, in and out, nice and clean victory, and then like I say, beat to lose at home, and I think that's it wrapped up, to be honest.
Which it all sounds great on paper, yeah, doesn't it? But then we saw in the first half against Lask, the issue when you make change teams is it can be a little bit scrappy, a little bit, like I thought. Like, again, yeah. The good thing about the team against is the team that we just predicted there. There's goals in it because you've got Jota and you've got Darwin. Because Doak isn't obviously at that level where, you know, he's not banging goals in every week like Mohamed Salah does. This is the thing about complacency, isn't it? Like, again, Liverpool need to be honest. I think against Leicester, you got sucker points. That can happen. That wasn't complacency. Against Leicester, they looked complacent. Yeah. They looked like they were out for a stroll in the park. I wonder if that's given them a bit of a kick up the arse. Like, you know what? Like, yeah, you're used to playing Champions League footy, and these are a smaller club by comparison. But, like, there's your warning signs. Like, don't mess about. Get the job done. Be professional. Because for the first time in a long time, I actually did think against Lask, a bit of complacency did creep in.
It does. And over the years, things that have happened to the football team where we have been complacent. Look at having on Waterlooville all them years ago. Wow. That was complacent twice. We went, I think it was 1-0 down, then 2-1 down, you know. So you can't take these games lightly no matter what level it is anymore. But I get the whole, we should be winning this group, which we probably will do anyway on such wood. But just don't let it, what happened at Lask, and that's what I meant before, mate, about playing devil's advocate of trying to go a little bit on the stronger side just to get it over and done with as early as possible, and then you take people off rather than the clamouring of struggling for the last 70, you know, sort of 75 minutes onwards to trying to get a goal. So
absolutely, I suppose the thing in Lask though, Dan, like it mentions here, Sarah brings a comment up to it, like against Lask that pitch was so bad, so I don't know how you could say it was just because the changes, and there's a fair point.
Yeah,
that is the one thing, is that when you play in a game when you're the favourite, I suppose what sometimes the level it can be, the pitch, the conditions, the atmosphere, like people at home in Anfield against Minnows, this is where really you should, this is where your clash should show, even if it isn't much change Liverpool side, not really any excuses, you know, like the pitch and the Lask and the change, like they were all there and we kind of accepted it. I think at home Anfield, there isn't too much in that, is you've got to just like, it should be a Liverpool win, relatively straightforward one.
Without a shadow of a doubt, pretty much whatever team Liverpool put out, within reason of course, they should be strong enough to beat this side. And again, that's no disrespect to them, for them it's a great achievement sort of being where they are again, because they're a smaller club in Belgian terms, let alone European terms. Like, they're not one of the big boys there. Club Brugge, obviously, is sort of a standard Liège, historically, the bigger teams there. So they are punching above the weight, even in their own domestic league, let alone European football. So, and I took a quick look at a team earlier on, and I don't want to go into too much detail on it, but some of the names, right? There's Christian Burgess played for Portsmouth for a long time, and Hartlepool in this country, and you think, and he starts regular. So, not to disrespect him, even though it sounds like I am, for Liverpool perspective, we should be going into this game, just like I say, if we're professional, if we're at a level, no complacency, and we get the job done, it should be relatively straightforward for us, because you mentioned, you know, everything's in our favour at home. The Anfield crowd is not going to be a normal Europa League night for Liverpool Football Club and the fans. It's going to be top level. I'm absolutely certain of it because of what's going on. So, yeah, I have no worries whatsoever about us and our preparation. The pitch won't be a factor because we're at home. And you know what? In terms of the pitch, like, credit to Lask for doing that, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You need to take all the marginal gains you can get. Like, make things in your favour. We see it all the time in this country in the FA Cup when you go to, you know, lesser clubs and you go to lower league grounds. You make it
turn the heating off in the changes.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Yeah, and why not? And why credit not? To you, you need to get that. You're playing against lads, you know, far more international footballers sometimes, like, far better paid than you are. They've got all the best things in the world. So why not make it a bit of a level and bring them down to your level? So yeah, don't blame them for that. But yeah, tomorrow night, there's absolutely no excuses whatsoever for Liverpool. It's 3 points, no dramas, no issues. Like, get the job done.
Full of goals.
Control the game. Yeah, and like I said earlier on, get it wrapped up to a point whereby you're 30, 20 minutes out, whatever it is, and you can make changes that don't mean you're chasing the game and you're trying to win it later on. Make changes that actually give more lads more minutes, and you can get your preparation absolutely spot on here. This is a perfect opportunity ahead of Brighton, ahead of what's to come. I know it's international break, but after that, to get key minutes into key lads, to get them ready for what's next. Not dragging Mohamed Salah off the bench and he's going, do I have to really again? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to happen tomorrow.
Fingers crossed that is the case. What are you expecting?
Oh, 3-0 Liverpool.
What are you thinking?
1-0 down and then a 4-1 win.
Yeah, shock horror. I reckon that's more, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world, but yeah, I think Liverpool will win as well, quite comfortably in the end. Fingers crossed that is the case. Right then, guys, thanks for tuning in to the match preview show. Like I say, the game itself, we will have a watch along here on the YouTube channel. It'll be me and Errol and Dan as well, so come and tune in. What time's kickoff? 8?
8 tomorrow night.
So we'll be live from 6:30 with the team news. What's that called?
Uncensored
match build up team news show. Uncensored match build up for 6:30, and then the watch along will be live from 7:45 in the evening. So come and join us for that. Thanks to Dan, thanks to Jay, thanks to all you guys, and I'll see you all soon. See you in a bit.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.